We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 2 tonight. When you find your place, if you will, please stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. Amen. If you're able, physically able. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, there's a thought here that develops on through the chapter. And it says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now what the writer there is saying is that we really need to pay attention, so that we don't let the things that we've heard and the things that we've read slip from our memory. So let's go on over here to verse number 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one, all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee, and again I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and helpful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. May God add his blessings to the reading of his words, and you may be seated. Now you know, in the first verse we read there in chapter 1, or chapter 2, verse 1, it says that we may need to pay more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we let them slip. Now, when I think about that, I think about, what does slip mean? And I don't know if y'all done this week, but if you tried to travel up a hill on foot or in a two-wheel drive especially, you slipped. You didn't accomplish. You didn't go where you were headed to go, and you didn't get what you was desiring to do, and you just sit there and spun your wheels, and then you may even slip backwards. You know, I think that's a problem that some churches in this day and age that we're living in is having a problem. They're forgetting the words of God and what Jesus himself came to do. And we see here in verse 9, it says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with all glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Now, it's easy for us to really forget what Christ went through. When we look at the cross, here it's polished up and it's pretty, and we think of it, yes, Jesus came. He was hung on the cross and he died and he was resurrected. Now he's at home with the Father. And we doing that, we skip through a lot of steps that he went through for you and I. And we don't need to let it slip what Jesus did for you and I. For he did things for you and I that we could not do for ourselves. If you'll notice in verse 8 through 18 here, the theme or the main focus of these verses is suffering. And when we look up the meaning of suffering, a lot of us think, oh, it means to be in pain continuously, that it don't relent. But suffering is to bear, as we say, to undergo, to feel or bear what is painful, disagreeable, or distressing, either to the body or mind. To undergo, we suffer pain of body, we suffer grief of mind. The criminal suffers punishment. The sinner suffers the pangs of consequence in his life and is condemned to suffer the wrath of an offended God. We often suffer wrong. We suffer abuse and we suffer injustice. See, we forget and we don't put it together what Jesus really did when he suffered. Yes, he went through pain. Sometimes we get in our mind and we'll say, yeah, well, we know that it hurt when Jesus was nailed to that cross. We know it hurt when they jammed that crown of thorns down on his head. We know it hurt when they plucked his beard out of his face. That had to be a painful thing. But we forget what Jesus went through there in the Garden of Gethsemane before all these things took place. Our Lord and Savior went out there in that garden and he began to pray and he came under so much distress that his blood became, or his sweat became, his great drops of blood.
Amen.
That's suffering.
Yes.
That's mental anguish. That's distress over about what's about to happen. And our Lord and Savior not only went through that in the Garden of Gethsemane, but he went through it in his whole life. We forget sometimes when we read Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 through 18, that when Jesus, when the writer said that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, we don't understand and we forget that Jesus, of his own will, his own volition, left glory on your behalf, glory on my behalf, that he might come and do what needed to be done for you and I. It says, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Not suffering, but sufferings. What are we saying there? Is that his human vocation was perfected in suffering, that he become the captain of our salvation, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified, all are one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Did you know that you and I, we're brothers and sisters in the Lord. Amen. We're family. We went through a blood transfusion. We went through a change of mind. We went through a change of heart. An old heart, black as coal, has been warmed up, turned pink with love for one another and for our Savior, and a love for the lost and dying. He suffered that he might identify with all of humanity. Did you know, you think about this, God is a spirit, and all that worship him must worship him in what, Ryan? In spirit and in truth. You know, Jesus left the spiritual realm and took on flesh and blood. You know why he done that? So he could know what it was like to be human. He was made just a little lower than the angels so that he could know what pain is, what anguish of the heart is, what being out of control is, what being abandoned is, what being left alone with no support is, and facing trials and tribulations just like we. For you know, if he had stayed in a spirit, he couldn't have felt those things.
Amen.
He couldn't have felt the pangs of flesh.
Wow.
He couldn't have felt the pangs of a broken heart. So he came so that he could be, he could understand you and I, that he would be just like you and me, and he could know what it is to be tempted. It says here, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Say, he's saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church. You know, we need more of Jesus. That's what I need. I need more of Jesus. Less of me and more of him. We need to hear it ring out from the pulpits in the church. We need to hear it ring out from the brethren and the sisters in the church. We need to be praising and glorifying our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Woo! Glory! Because he's the captain of our salvation. Amen. Don't be afraid to say amen. Don't be afraid to say amen. He says, and again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. I want to ask you something. Who do you trust? You know, it says that we shouldn't let them slip. Let these things slip. It says in one of the chapters, I think it's chapter 3, verse 1, if I'm not badly mistaken, that God who in sundry times, which chapter is that? God in sundry times spake through the prophets in diverse manners, but now he speaks to us all. Let me look here. It won't take me but just a second to find it. Chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, having these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. So you see, when we really get down to it, Jesus, he can identify with you and me, and not only that, but he can speak to us, and he can talk to our hearts. And when we begin to see these things, what he suffered through or allowed to happen, we can say, thank you, Jesus, for doing it for me. I say this a lot when I've been preaching, that if I was the only one that was in need of salvation, if Kevin Blevins had been the only one, then Jesus would have went through it just for me. And you can say the same thing. Although it's universal, it's personal. Because he came in the flesh, he knows what it is to suffer just like you and I. Not only that, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through the fear of death, which were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. On Monday nights we've been studying about Abraham. We've been studying about Melchizedek. Hey, the priest who had no father, no mother, no beginning and no end. How Abraham, when he went and won the battle, that he came back and he gave to this Melchizedek a tenth of what he won in the battle. He suffered to destroy the power of death. Did you get that? He suffered. He took on that flesh. He took on that blood. He became a part of the lineage of Abraham. Just like you and I have flesh and blood, so did Abraham in his lineage. And he took on that flesh and blood so that he could die. As a human being, he could die, Gwen. He was 100% human. He was 100% God. But that flesh had to die. He had to know what death was. He had to go through that rind. For you and for me and for everybody sitting here, he had to suffer the pangs of death to destroy the devil, who enslaved the people of old times with the fear of death. You know, so many times when we go to a funeral, we hear the preaching of the rapture. We hear the preaching of the resurrection. And it gives us hope that someday we'll see our loved ones again. And that takes away that fear of death. But in the old days, Johnny, when one passed away, they were looking to the cross. No one had took and defeated the devil. And death was a great fear to them. They didn't know what Jesus was going to do. They just had faith in it. You know, children, we need to watch who we put our faith in. Amen. You might be like me someday, and I hope you're not, when one night the doctor comes walking in the room, says, we know you got what we thought you had, but it's a lot worse than that. You got cancer. You know what? That's a time in our lives when we need to have faith in Jesus Christ, a faith in the resurrection. And as Gwen witnessed about David Ward, he said it would be all right either way. Man, that's faith. That's no fear of death. Oh, grave, where's thy sting? Oh, death, where's thy victory? We read in Revelation, the one who has the keys to death, hell, and the grave. We know that when we leave here, we'll be in His presence. For what did He tell the dying thief on the cross? He said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. He didn't say 1,000 years from now. He didn't say 10 minutes later, but he said, this day, and I take that to be immediately when he gave up his life, that he was in the presence of Jesus in paradise. Amen. You say, where's paradise, preacher? I know about heaven. Where's paradise? Paradise is wherever Jesus is. And Jesus is wherever paradise is. And I don't know about you, but that makes it all right with me. And I'll guarantee you He'll show me the way there when the time comes. So there may come a time in our life when we need to cling to the very fact that Jesus came and was born in the flesh to suffer death so that we could have no fear of it.
Amen.
To set us free. And that term there, fear, that fear of death is enslaved to that fear.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I don't want to live in that fear.
Yes,
I want to live liberated from that fear. Hey, I can't live if I live in fear of death. Those that fear death cannot live till they get over the fear of death. Glory be to God. A man can't live till he accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Oh, the devil will make you think you're living, but he's destroying you day by day by day. Little by little by little, he's taking life away from you. Woo, glory. Jesus is the giver of life, and Satan's the taker. I don't know about you, but I trust Jesus when he had to do that. And not only did he suffer so that we could have no fear of death, but he suffered that he might become our intercessor. Now think about this. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful. Listen at that, merciful. Think about mercy. Have you ever needed mercy in your life? Has there ever been a time when you crossed the line and somebody had every right to drop the hammer on you, but they says, I'll have mercy. Listen to what it says. That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. We need to think on this in a minute. Those that are tempted. In every area that we could be tempted, he was tempted. Amen. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, Satan tempts us on the same three levels. You know, Anna, I know you won't mind this. When her and Josh first started dating, I'd tell you, well, I may look yonder at them little angel wings budding out back there. And she was so sweet, she'd just giggle. She'd say, hush. I said, well, I do. I believe I see them little angel wings back there. But you know, regardless of what the preacher might say, and that goes for any preacher, me, her daddy, Josh, Leonard Fletcher, Davy Shelton, Anna, this is the truth. She is in need of a Savior. She wasn't an angel. God created her in flesh and blood. She's in need of a Savior. I'm in need of a Savior. One day back in 1983, I was in desperate need of a Savior. Oh, when the Holy Spirit convicted my heart of the sin I'd inherited that I couldn't do nothing about, that old Adam sin that was going to send my soul to hell, I needed a Savior that could intercede between me and God.
Amen.
Guess what? It didn't end there. He who says he has no sin maketh God what? A liar. I ain't going to stand here and tell you I ain't got sin in my life. For they sin in every one of our lives. And we need an intercessor that we can come to that can forgive us of that sin. Clean our old heart up. Give us a clear conscience and set us on our way.
Amen,
for he's merciful. He has every right to say no. I'll not forgive you. You say, preacher, do you sin? Sure. I will probably sin before I get to town hall tonight. You know why? I catch myself every time speeding. Sin, people. Sin. I'm not above it. Just because God called me to preach, I ain't above it. And glory be to God, you ain't either. Amen. And we need an intercessor that's merciful, that we can snuggle up to the feet of and say, Jesus, woo, glory, I love you. I thank you. I need you, Lord, in my life every day. And God, I need you to forgive me of my sin.
Amen, brother.
And He will. He's merciful. He could drop the hammer on us and say, no, I won't. You'll have to carry that guilt through all eternity. That conscience will burn your mind every day in eternity, every moment. But He don't. Ain't you glad that He's merciful?
Amen.
Aren't you glad that He said, I will? For Gwen, we went to school together. And be honest with you, I was mean as a striped-tailed rattlesnake.
Well, you just sat behind me.
I know Gwen. Gwen knows me. We've known each other a long, long time.
Been a long time.
We needed a Savior.
We certainly did.
We still do today.
Absolutely.
Well, I remember a night. Ain't been too long ago. I had a son. I've still got him. It needed a Savior. I'll never forget. At 2 o'clock one morning, Johnny, I was laying in there asleep and something went like it. He said, Daddy, I need to talk to you. And there's a lot of them talks took place in the middle of the night, and I thought, oh my, what you got into this time? Telling on you, Josh. You tell on me so much. He says, in the bedroom, Daddy. I thought, man, this is bad. I got to go.
Always bad.
He says, got in his bedroom there. He said, Daddy, I need to be saved. Woo! Glory! I said, this is a talk I've been waiting on. We did down Romans Road. He knelt down and said, Lord, forgive me and save me. I'm just a sinner. I need your grace and your mercy on my soul. Woo! Glory! He came up from there and said, Daddy, I'm saved. Boy, it was happier around the Blevins household that night. Amen, Mama. Hallelujah. Boy, I'm thankful for a Savior that'll come at 2 o'clock in the morning and touch a young man's heart and use him to go on and be the pastor of a great church. Woo, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you. As the pastor, for they in that he himself have suffered being tempted, but he never sinned. You see, that's the difference between him and me.
Sir,
he never sinned. He says he'll succor them that are tempted. He'll help. Not only that he could be the captain, that he could identify with us, he suffered not only that we wouldn't have to fear death. He didn't suffer just for that.
But he suffered that he could be our help in a time of need.
Amen.
Folks, in times of old, he spoke unto those of divers places in different manners. And I'm just paraphrasing that scripture now, the very first verse of Hebrews. But the second verse is he speaks to each one of us. Now's the time where the Spirit's speaking. The Spirit's talking to our heart. That holy comforter that comes down in a room over yonder in Elkin Hospital when a doctor has come by and said, you got cancer and you got it bad. And that spirit, sweet spirit settles in. It's gonna be okay.
Right. Amen.
That spirit.
Amen.
Comes by at 2:00 in the morning. Amen. Speaks to a young man's heart that his daddy can't reach, his mama can't reach, nobody on this side of glory can reach. And he touches a heart.
Right. Amen.
And wakes it up. Refreshes and renews it. And right here at the tabernacle tonight, he's speaking to the heart.
Amen. Right.
See a little touch of Jesus. Be carrying a load. Make this snow go up around his feet. Say, Lord, I love you. Oh, you know what I am? I'm just dust. Little spit and little dust. I just need your touch, homie. Oh, you know I'm strange. I didn't mean to. And you know what? He's our high priest.
That's right.
You hold this. You'll catch this. You'll listen real close. We don't have to go talk to a nut and a knot.
Right.
I'm going to leave it right there. You'll figure out that. If you can't ask somebody that can help you with it, we can speak directly to you.
Amen, brother. Amen.
We can go straight to you. You know what that means? I don't have to tell old Dino, Dino don't have to tell me. It's between me and him.
Amen.
Between me and him. Not nobody else. Ain't nobody else's business. It's his business.
Amen.
Every bit of it.
Bless
him. I'm going to ask Jody if she will come and get us something just sweet and slow and soft. Just come and pick us out something and play it real easy.